The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a new week, a short week, but a new week nonetheless. It's a Tuesday. That means Gotta Laugh will be along for the ride in just a little while. I'm Nicole Sandler, and you know, I've lately been starting the show every day with that Freedom of the Press intro. I've got a few that are more entertaining, that are funny, but in this day and age, it seems like I need to constantly remind us how important the freedom to talk and to talk about whatever we want to discuss is, how important it is. And it looks like it may be taken away from us in this type of venue anyway. Yesterday, because I don't do a show on Mondays, I actually watched the White House press briefing with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And she, because it was the last press briefing before Thanksgiving, she made the reporters in the room, before they asked their question, talk about what they're grateful for, what they're thankful for. And it was Cecilia Vega, I believe is her name, from ABC News, who after a bunch of them said, my family, my faith, my this, my that, a couple of them tried to make a little pointed remark in there. But Cecilia Vega of ABC News said just simply, I'm thankful for the First Amendment. And then she went into her question. It was a pretty stellar moment that I think taught some of the other gathered there a lesson. Well, today, Ajit Pai, the chairman of the FCC, is today releasing his plan to undo net neutrality. Net neutrality is a set of rules put in place during the Obama administration that basically says the internet is a free and open and equal society, if you will. It is a world conversation where all voices are the same. And actually, they're not, because you still have to pay to get on the internet, and you've got to pay more to get faster speeds, to get more access. But basically, if you have you get your internet service providers plans, what they offer, and you can pick which one you want. And generally, it's you're paying a different amount for faster speeds, right? You'll pay more for higher speeds to allow you to go faster, to allow you to stream audio and video on the internet. I'm stuck with AT&T here in South Florida, and I have the fastest package that AT&T offers where I live, so that I can do this program every day. But I don't have to pay extra to stream audio and video to you. It's part of, you know, my payment to go online and to get on the internet. If these net neutrality rules pass, which there's no reason to think they won't, this is not something I believe that Congress gets to vote on. And I could be wrong here. We're going to find out a week from tomorrow. Sorry, we've got Thanksgiving coming tomorrow, and I did try to do it sooner, but we're going to have to wait a week. But we have time. So a week from tomorrow, Tim Carr of freepress.net and savetheinternet.com will join us, and he'll answer all my myriad of questions about net neutrality and what's going to happen and how we might be able to save ourselves from it, although I don't hold out much hope. So he'll be on a week from tomorrow, next Wednesday. But I believe it's just the FCC that gets to vote on this. We'll find out. And the vote is going to happen as soon as December 7th. And what they will do, what they'll be able to do, is pretty much anything they want. If they want to do like an a la carte system where, say, if you just want email and Facebook, you'll pay so much per month. If you want to be able to stream video, like bring in streamed video, like watch this show on YouTube, if you watch YouTube or watch Netflix, you know, they'll charge you $10 a month to watch Netflix. Of course, that's on top of the $10 a month you pay to Netflix for their content. You see where I'm going on this? They could decide to just do the fast lane, slow lane thing, and companies who pay up pay more to have their content streaming faster will be delivered to you at something that you can watch. Where something like my show, where I can't afford to pay any kind of extortion like that, I'd be relegated to a spinning ball, probably. I have no idea what that means for the future of this program. We'll have to see what happens. But all the advocates are saying, call Congress, call your senators, tell them not only no on this Senate tax scam bill, but also no on, undoing net neutrality. Please tell them to save net neutrality. So all this stuff is going on today, and yet there's more. We awoke this morning to more allegations. Actually, the news broke last night about Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose, who I guess it had been rumored, usually when there were there again, I'll say it, and it's a bad, is it an allegory? Where there's smoke, there's fire. But apparently there have been rumors about Charlie Rose for years. Well, that's because he's been sexually harassing women who work for him or who wanted to work for him for years. And, I'm struggling with this whole sexual harassment flood that we're experiencing now, because I don't believe if one woman makes an allegation that automatically convicts the alleged perpetrator. But as in the case with Charlie Rose, the Washington Post went to press with a story of 8 women making allegations, only three of them on the record. 5 of them didn't want to be named because they feared retaliation because he's so powerful. Well, he's not quite so powerful today. First, he was suspended by CBS, where he was anchoring, co-hosting the CBS Morning News or Morning Show or whatever they call it. With Nora O'Donnell and Gail King. He also contributed to 60 Minutes. His Charlie Rose interview show was distributed by PBS. It aired on PBS and Bloomberg. He was suspended from there as well. And during the course of the day today, within about an hour between them all, he's been fired. First, he was fired by CBS, and then PBS and Bloomberg followed suit. So Charlie Rose in the broadcasting world is no more. One of the reporters I heard on one of the news shows a little while ago said that since the story broke, her phone, her email has been blowing up, excuse me, with other women coming forth with other allegations. So when here's another one of those old sayings, when it rains, it pours. I mean, if there is fire there, you would think that the floods would start soon. And sure enough, with Charlie Rose, they are. Now, that's not what happened with Al Franken, although another woman came forth. Her story has been called into some question because of where the alleged buttock grabbing was alleged to have happened. It's so distasteful, but I got to think, rather than seeing letters from Al Franken staffers and former co-workers at Saturday Night Live, women coming forth to say we've never witnessed anything even remotely of the sort, the floodgates would have opened if Al Franken was a serial sexual harasser. Again, this is something I'm sure we'll get into with Gotta Laugh, but it's an uneasy time. Then the other one that happened this morning, John Conyers. Oh, so Charlie Rose was fired. You know what? I was going to read to you the statement from CBS, but I don't need to do that. What I'd rather read to you is the statement from John Conyers' office. Now, John Conyers was, we've heard that there are two sitting members of Congress, of the House of Representatives, one Democrat and one Republican, who are serial sexual harassers, two still in office. But nobody's naming names yet. Although this morning, we see that one of them is alleged to be Congressman John Conyers, who his office first his first statement was a complete denial. And then he issued a new statement, took back the first one, in which he said he never settled anything and didn't do anything wrong. And then they issued a new statement that reads, "I have long been and continue to be a fierce advocate for equality in the workplace, and I fully support the rights of employees who believe they have been harassed or discriminated against to assert claims against their employers. That said, it is important to recognize that the mere making of an allegation does not mean it is true." I agree with that. "The process must be fair to both the employee and the accused. The current media environment is bringing a much-needed focus to the important issue of preventing harassment in workplaces across the country. However, equally important to keep in mind this particular moment is the principle of due process and that those accused of wrongdoing are presumed innocent unless and until an investigation establishes otherwise. In our country, we strive to honor this fundamental principle that all are entitled to due process. In this case, I expressly and vehemently denied the allegations made against me and continue to do so. My office resolved the allegations with an express denial of liability in order to save all involved from the rigors of protracted litigation. This should not be lost in the narrative. The resolution was not for millions of dollars, but rather for an amount that equated to a reasonable severance payment. There are statutory requirements of confidentiality that apply to both the employee and me regarding this matter. To the extent the House determines to look further at these issues, I will fully cooperate with an investigation." Now, this is troubling. And, you know, it'll be interesting to me to see if any other women come forth and allege similar allegations against John Conyers. I don't know. What's wrong here in talking about due process is the House, the Congress, their system of dealing with such complaints is very unfair, mostly unfair. And we've talked about this in recent days, mostly unfair to the victim who must, if someone alleges that they're the victim of sexual harassment or worse, the first step is they have to undergo 30 days of counseling, the victim, before their complaint can even be taken up. So it puts the victim at a real disadvantage. Then they have these settlements. Now, what's alleged here is that this settlement in question in this case was paid out by John Conyers' office, not by that fund that has paid out some, $15 to $17 million over the past 20 years. But there are non-disclosure agreements codified in them so that if, you know, somebody takes a settlement, they're prevented from talking about it going forward. This does nobody any good because it leaves the perpetrator in place to harass or worse somebody else. It's just an ugly time in history. I mean, it's a good time if you think that finally women's voices are being heard and maybe we'll have a stop to this heinous, horrendous behavior. But it's really an ugly time to realize that this kind of stuff has been going on. Over at the CBS Morning Show today, they did address the situation. This was when Charlie Rose was merely suspended, not yet fired.
Charlie Rose has co-hosted this broadcast since its debut in 2012. He's also a contributing correspondent to 60 Minutes. In a statement, CBS News says he's suspended immediately while we look into the matter. These allegations are extremely disturbing and we take them very seriously. The Washington Post reporter told us more than a dozen other women have reached out wanting to speak or share their stories since this article appeared yesterday. And Nora, as tough as the story is, it's important that we cover it the same way we covered the other ones.
Well said, Bianna. Thank
now,
you.
This is Nora O'Donnell.
Yeah, I know you and I have talked a lot about this. And
have.
It takes a lot of courage for these women to come forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that they should continue to do something.
That they will continue to speak up.
Yeah. I also want to say this, that this is a moment that demands a frank and honest assessment about where we stand and more generally the safety of women. Let me be very clear. There is no excuse for this alleged behavior. It is systematic and pervasive. And I've been doing a lot of listening, and I'm going to continue to do that. This I know is true. Women cannot achieve equality in the workplace or in society until there is a reckoning and a taking of responsibility. I'm really proud to work at CBS News. There are so many incredible people here, especially on this show, all of you here. This will be investigated. This has to end. This behavior is wrong. Period.
And this is Gayle King. And I have to say, Nora, I really am still reeling. I got an hour and 42 minutes of sleep last night. Both my son and my daughter called me. Oprah called me and said, "Are you okay?" I am not
okay. Oprah called her.
After reading that article in the Post, it was deeply disturbing, troubling, and painful for me to read. That said, I think we have to make this matter to women, the women that have spoken up, the women who have not spoken up because they're afraid. I'm hoping that now they will take the step to speak out, too, that this becomes a moment of truth. You know, I've enjoyed a friendship and a partnership with Charlie for the past 5 years. I've held him in such high regard, and I'm really struggling because what do you say when someone that you deeply care about has done something that is so horrible? How do you wrap your brain around that? I'm really grappling with that. That said, Charlie does not get a pass here. He doesn't get a pass from anyone in this room. We are all deeply affected. We are all rocked by this. And I want to echo what Nora said. I really applaud the women that speak up despite the friendship. He doesn't get a pass because I can't stop thinking about the anguish of these women. What happened to their dignity? What happened to their bodies? What happened maybe to even their careers? I can't stop thinking about that and the pain that they're going through. I also find that it's you can hold two ideas in your head at the same time. You can grapple with things. And I, to be very honest with you, I'm still trying to process all of this. I'm still trying to sort it out because this is not the man I know. But I'm also clearly on the side of the women who have been very hurt and very damaged by this.
How strange has it got to be when it is somebody that you know, that you work day in and day out with, you know, for over 5 years, and yet you have no clue? Did they have no clue? I don't know how they could have no clue unless they don't listen to the stories of the women who they work with. Because apparently Charlie Rose's behavior was widespread and pretty well known. There goes another one. And then we haven't even talked about Glenn Thrush over at the New York Times, where he's been suspended for apparently harassing. And I don't know what form the harassment took, other than just being a little too pushy. Young female journalists and you know, up and coming and perspective wannabe journalists. But he's suspended by the New York Times. It is a strange, strange time. And yes, I'm glad that women are finally being listened to. I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. We'll talk about it with Gotta Laugh when we do the tweet spot and more. But first, a look at the day's news.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Trump administration has given nearly 60,000 Haitians with provisional legal residency in this country 18 months to leave, announcing Monday that it will not renew the temporary protected status that has allowed them to remain here for more than 7 years. The decision came after the Department of Homeland Security determined that the extraordinary conditions justifying their presence in the U.S. following a 2010 earthquake no longer exist, according to a senior administration official. BuzzFeed is reporting that Michigan Representative John Conyers, a Democrat and the longest-serving member of the House of Representatives, settled a wrongful dismissal complaint in 2015 with a former employee who alleged she was fired because she would not succumb to his sexual advances.
Documents from the complaint include four signed affidavits from former staff members who alleged that Conyers repeatedly made sexual advances to female staff that included requests for sexual favors, contacting and transporting other women with whom they believe Conyers was having affairs, caressing their hands sexually, and rubbing their legs and backs in public. Four people involved with the case verified the documents are authentic. Last week, the Washington Post reported that Congress's Office of Compliance paid out $17 million for 264 settlements with federal employees over 20 years for various violations, including sexual harassment. Eight women have told the Washington Post that longtime television host Charlie Rose made unwanted sexual advances toward them, including lewd phone calls, walking around naked in their presence, or groping their breasts, buttocks, or genital areas. The women were employees or aspired to work for Rose at the Charlie Rose Show from the late 1990s to as recently as 2011. They ranged in age from 21 to 37 at the time of the alleged encounters. Rose, whose show airs on PBS and Bloomberg TV, also co-hosts CBS This Morning and is a contributing correspondent for 60 Minutes. CBS has since suspended Rose, while PBS and Bloomberg have halted distribution of his show. The Department of Justice filed a lawsuit Monday to block AT&T's proposed purchase of Time Warner. The suit is the first major antitrust action by the Justice Department since Donald Trump took office. In 2016, Trump said,
"As an example of the power structure I'm fighting, AT&T is buying Time Warner and thus CNN. A deal we will not approve in my administration because it's too much concentration of power in the hands of too few."
Trump has repeatedly criticized CNN, which is owned by Time Warner, as fake news. It was initially rumored and denied by the Justice Department that the department's antitrust lawyers had demanded Time Warner divest itself of the cable news channel in order to win approval for the merger. This rumored pressure was widely seen as an attempt by Trump to punish CNN. In the latest demonstration of increased tensions on the Korean Peninsula, the president placed North Korea back on the list of state sponsors of terrorism.
"We will be instituting a very critical step, and that'll start right now. Today, the United States is designating North Korea as a state sponsor of terrorism. Should have happened a long time ago, should have happened years ago. In addition to threatening the world by nuclear devastation, North Korea has repeatedly supported acts of international terrorism, including assassinations on foreign soil. As we take this action today, our thoughts turn to Otto Warmbier, wonderful young man, and the countless others so brutally affected by the North Korean oppression. This designation will impose further sanctions and penalties on North Korea and related persons and supports our maximum pressure campaign to isolate the murderous regime that you've all been reading about and in some cases writing about."
Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai revealing plans to his fellow commissioners on Tuesday to fully dismantle the agency's Obama-era net neutrality regulations. People familiar with the plan said, in a major victory for the telecom industry in the long-running policy debate. The commission will vote on the proposal in December, some 7 months after it laid the groundwork for scuttling the rules that require internet service providers like Comcast or AT&T to treat web traffic equally. At the final White House press briefing before Thanksgiving, Sarah Sanders demanded that reporters say what they're thankful for before asking their questions.
"And this will be our last press briefing before the Thanksgiving holiday in this room. So I want to share a few things that I'm thankful for. And I think it would be nice for you guys to do so as well before asking your questions. Obviously, you probably know, and it's no secret, that I'm clearly very thankful for all of you here in the room. And I think that goes without saying. April, you've been so eager, so I'm going to go with you to start us off on what you're most thankful for."
"I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for 20 years in this job. I'm thankful to be able to talk to you and question you every single day."
"I feel the gratefulness there."
"My question."
"Yes, ma'am."
"I hope you felt the passion of my faith."
"Silly." "Thanks, Sarah. I am thankful for the First Amendment."
Yes. "We're thankful for that."
That was ABC's Cecilia Vega, who said she's thankful for the First Amendment. And we're thankful for her.
I got the good.
And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, it's Tuesday, and every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh and talk about what's going on in the news, as gleaned from the tweets of the Twitters. Hello?
Yes, you breached the Trump Secret Envies hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump is secretly envious of the Keystone XL's impressively long pipes. Press 2 if you think Trump is secretly envious of Roy Moore because Moore gets other people to use religion to justify his sexual assaults.
Ooh, yeah.
Press 3 if you think Trump is secretly envious of himself because, well, somebody's got to be. Have a nice day.
I guess.
Oh, my God. Your Naomi Klein retweet today,
yes.
The one about, if you feel overwhelmed, that's intentional.
Yep.
Do something instead. Do something about it. Wow. And then just cross the wires, as they say, Walt Disney Chief Creative Officer John Lasseter takes leave of absence after missteps.
No. Wow.
Citing an internal memo.
Wow. Yeah. I believe it was John Lasseter, but I don't have it any longer. I got back in the day when I was doing music radio in Los Angeles. I'm pretty sure it was John Lasseter. I got a postcard from a director at Disney. This was in the mid to late 90s, saying that he listened to the radio station and loved it. And I thought I held on to it, but now I guess I would probably throw it away anyway.
Well, wow. You know, sex offenders love you too.
I suppose. They have lives too. Anyway, wow.
Yeah. It's just like a big explosion, like the floodgates just went wide open and the water's just rushing through. Everyone's gonna have somebody to talk about. And what's really interesting to me is the responses to each and every person that's being accused. I mean, you were talking about various levels mm-hmm. of response, and this is a toughie. Like I was reading some tweet that went by one of the journalists that we see on Twitter. I can't remember who, that said, "Oh, come on, if you think it's okay for this one, but not okay for that one. So is it okay to murder? Is it like more murderous to use a knife 15 times than 10 or something like that?" And I'm thinking, no, I think the analogy is more like misdemeanor versus felony.
Yes.
I mean, if you get pinched in the tush, no, it shouldn't happen. Absolutely not. But that's different than serial assault of teenagers.
Yes, it is. It's completely different, and they're different degrees.
Yeah.
And if there's one allegation or two versus the floodgates open.
Yeah.
It makes me think either this is a trend or this is something that maybe didn't happen. Or if it did, maybe there was a misunderstanding. I don't know. I'm really.
It happened, but it wasn't that important to a lot of people or it happened twice.
Right. But I don't think this kind of stuff happened twice. I really don't.
I think somebody is
guilty of doing it regularly.
Yeah.
Or they don't do it. I'm really uncomfortable with, an accuser makes a statement and the accuser is taken 100% and the person is deemed guilty without due process.
But then politically, I mean, it's so hard to draw that line because we're saying, well, look at Roy Moore, look at all these women that have come forward. but there's not going to be a trial. The trial is a political trial.
Right. But there is, I mean, this woman, Lee Korfman, who you did the interview the other night or yesterday on the Today Show.
Right.
And if you could watch her and not believe her, then, you know, then I don't know who you are, because she was pretty credible to me. But the fact is, she told her friends contemporaneously. She told people right after it happened,
right,
that this
exactly
happened. And when there's that kind of evidence there, it lends credence to the claim.
Right. I you know, that's why contemporaneous notes are so important, which I learned to do, believe it or not, after listening and watching the OJ trial. Whenever anything came up that could possibly be a legal issue, I would start taking notes as it happened, you know, that night, that day, that minute, if possible. And people kept, I kept telling people about it. They go, no, the word isn't contemporaneous, it's contemporary. I said, no, this is a whole different thing. You do it while it's happening. We're not talking
That's right.
about contemporary. But it's important to do that. Or if you aren't one who does that or even knows to do that, yes, then you tell somebody so you have backup, so that you have somehow documented it, which is a form of documentation.
That's right. So that you can go back and say, you know, 40 years ago, did this person tell you anything? And what we're getting is yes, that a number of these women told their friends or family members what Roy Moore had done or attempted to do. And so there's the credibility. And when the Washington Post says they interviewed 30 people for that article, and I can't even imagine how many more since, you know that there's juice there. You know that there's
right.
evidence to back it up.
Right. And I didn't have the sound on, but I had Chiron's popping up just now. The more people, the spokesman did a presser. He didn't take any questions, of course. But he was talking about how this is all gossip and how everyone's out to get him and it's all political. Well, first of all, yes, we are out to get him. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We are out to get him. If somebody is a sexual predator and a child molester, we are out to get him. But also he called it gossip. Now, when you go to the mall and you've interviewed people, you know, meaning they have interviewed people who have said, yes, it was widely known that he hung out at the mall and that we told people to stay away and that it was, you know, he almost got banned or he did get banned. But and then so I heard somebody interviewed who was one of the mall cops. It was a female. And she said, yes, I heard all of that same stuff, and I was in a position to hear because I was the one in charge of youth, I believe she said, which means the kids who were coming out of the movie theaters or the teens that hung around the mall. But she said nothing was ever reported to us. There were no reports given to us, you know, written reports. So that is what I guess they're referring to as gossip. But when you get an entire mall talking about it, it's not just gossip. That's not the same as gossip.
No, I agree. And so we can contrast that with Al Franken and you know, the two women who have come forth, and I'm not slut shaming, although there's been a lot of that going on. Both of these women have ulterior motives or can have ulterior motives applied to them. The first one, Leanne Tweeden, you know, she's a regular on Sean Hannity's radio show. She comes from right-wing media. There are questions about the USO tour where there are pictures of her doing questionable things to guys, grabbing guys' asses and similar things. My question is, how did Roger Stone know the night before that Al Franken was going to be targeted by some allegations?
I read, and I may be getting this wrong because I saw a tweet about it, but that I think he said he spoke to the station or the people who were doing the show and told him that it was coming up. I'm not sure if that's what if I'm remembering properly. It was a relatively innocent explanation, meaning it's Stone. I don't believe anything.
Right, exactly. So that's the problem. You can't believe anything.
Yeah.
And it makes you think this was calculated, the timing of it, the entirety of it. And then the other woman, I don't even know, apparently where this picture was allegedly taken when Franken supposedly or allegedly grabbed her ass, was in clear view. There's a glass window right behind her, so anybody could have seen it if it happened. I don't know.
I know. And also, I'm getting, you know, in the chat room, Speedbird9 said, did Tweeden get a job from Sinclair shortly afterwards? Oh, there was a rumor that went around that she... Okay. This is ridiculous because I actually researched this, that she got hired to write a book or something, yep. Some kind of a book deal. Well, they don't do books. I went on their site. They do, from what I could tell, there's no print media that comes out of Sinclair in terms of books. And I also Googled my head off trying to find out, did Tweeden get book deal? Did Tweeden... Sinclair, you know, I went every which way I could. There were absolutely no articles addressing that. Whether she has ties somehow to Sinclair, that may be a different story. It didn't come up in a search, so I can't say that that's a true story.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did hear she got a book deal out of it, but that's all I heard, and I honestly didn't spend any time looking into it.
Well, I did because people were tweeting me about it. Right. So I thought, okay, you know, hey, if it's juicy, I'll go for it. But no, right. I couldn't find a thing.
Right.
And I did, you know, direct people to the Sinclair site where it says About Us, and nowhere on that site does it mention books.
Yeah, and I don't know that she has anything to do with Sinclair. I mean, she works for KABC in Los Angeles, which is owned by ABC Disney.
Yeah.
Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know what? It's no longer Disney. It's Cumulus now. Sorry.
That's
Disney
right.
Sold all their
yes.
radio to Cumulus. So it's Cumulus.
Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. Breaking.
Tweets, I got a bunch of tweets.
First from AP Politics. Breaking. Trump discounts allegations against Republican Roy Moore and says, quote, we don't need a liberal person in there.
Yes. I just saw that go by, too. Absolutely. Yeah. So basically, you know, yay, child molesting.
Yeah. Because there is no bottom. There is no bottom.
There's a lot of bottoms being pinched.
Allegedly. Whoops, wrong one. Here we go.
Welcome to my tweet.
All right. So lots of stuff. Twitter is just on fire today because there's so much going on.
There is so much. Okay. So I have, you know, the ones I sent you from yesterday, and then I have a few more from today that are tabbed on my little computy.
Okay.
So BuzzFeed was said they have five sources that said McMaster, the president's,
National Security Advisor.
Thank you. He mocked Trump's intelligence in a private dinner. And I have a little couple of paragraphs here. McMaster dismissed the president variously as an idiot and a dope with the intelligence of a kindergartner, the sources said. Of course, the White House is denying. It goes on to say, over a July dinner with Oracle CEO Safra Katz, who has been mentioned as a candidate for several potential administration jobs, McMaster bluntly trashed his boss, said the sources, four of whom told BuzzFeed News they heard about the exchange directly from Katz.
Mm-hmm.
The top national security official dismissed the president variously as an idiot, a dope, blah, blah, blah. A sixth source, who was not familiar with the details of the dinner, told BuzzFeed News that McMaster had made similarly derogatory comments about Trump's intelligence to him in private, including that the president lacked the necessary brain power to understand the matters before the National Security Council. Administration officials threatened to retaliate against several figures with knowledge of the July dinner if they spoke to BuzzFeed.
Wow. You know, it's true, he is an idiot and a dope with the intelligence of a kindergartner. He is all those things. But I hope this goes nowhere because already I'm always afraid. It's like we know the evil that we have. You know what I'm saying? If he's to get rid of McMaster and bring someone else in, I shudder to think of who it would be. It would be like Eric Prince or somebody.
Well, he didn't get rid of Tillerson when he called him a moron.
Right.
So hopefully, you know.
Right.
I guess he's used to being called these names.
I suppose. Although he just doesn't believe it. He just doesn't believe anyone would say those things about him. So it's easy for him to deny. You know, White House denies it, of course.
Of course. So our buddy LOL GOP said, breaking, Trump has named North Korea to state sponsor of terror list, a designation he had previously reserved for Obama, Hillary, and any black athlete who criticizes him.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. He's good.
Yes, he is. He's very funny.
He's so good. The Daily Beast had been reporting that Judge Pirro, Jeanine Pirro, Fox News host.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Gotta laugh. I am Jeanine Pirro. I will. Yeah. How dare you mention my name without saying judge in front of my name? Sorry. That's, oh my God.
Judge Jeanine Pirro was busted for driving 119 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. And my follower, Elle Kempton, said, I think her mouth goes faster than that. Yeah. And Chris Hayes said, I'll note that this is a far greater threat to public safety than overstaying a visa or sneaking across a border.
You think?
Yeah.
119. Wow.
Yeah, that's fast. And she said she didn't realize it. Now, come on. I drive, when I go 75, I can tell my car is feeling different. You know, mm-hmm. like it just feel, you see like car, you're going faster than other cars, or even if you're on an open road, there's, you know, there are very few cars. You feel the difference with speed.
I don't think my Prius goes 119.
Yeah, well, I just found out that my car is being recalled for like an entire front end or something, because if you're my size and you don't wear a seatbelt, okay, that's stupid. Who wouldn't? But if you don't, there's a real crash problem, head-on crash problem.
Well, and, take it in.
Well, there's nothing to take in yet. They'd have to replace the car.
Oh, shoot. Well.
So I'm due for a new one, which I was going to trade mine in and get a new one anyway, but all the new 2018s, the production has stopped. They're going to be redoing the production now. So I've got my car, I wear my seatbelt, and I am the small size that they warn about. Yikes!
Well, just drive carefully.
I always do. I do. Anyway, Brian Stelter of CNN, he said, it's been 6 months since President Trump, I don't want to say those words, since Trump gave a TV interview to any major network not named Fox.
Yep, and the only other interviews he's done are with, like, Christian Broadcasting Network or with individual Sinclair stations. Go figure.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
Because he's a coward. Because he can't take criticism. It'll eat him up at night. He'll be up tweeting and crying and whining. Oh, speaking of Trump's, the little turkey fest they had today, the little pardoning fest.
Yeah.
There's a video that, you know, showed the whole thing. And if you watch Barron walk out with Melania, she reaches out to sort of guide him along very gently. And he takes his elbow and elbows her away.
Oh, no.
Very rude. It was very
well,
rude.
He learns
and
it from his dad.
I felt sorry for him. Huh?
He learns it from his dad.
Oh, hell yeah. And he also looked very somber. I mean, of course he would. He's a Trump. But, you know, look at who he's brought up by. But here he was at a photo op. Even when they stood for the picture, a still picture. He didn't.
He didn't smile.
Corners of his mouth.
I know. I watched it, and Trump can't get through even something that's supposed to be lighthearted and silly and fun. Number one, without reading from a teleprompter.
Right.
Number two, without digging at Obama. So
right.
So here's. I'm going to play you a short clip.
Oh,
it's only 30
Good.
Seconds. But this is Trump during the turkey pardon thing today.
They'll join Tater and Tot. The two turkeys pardoned last year by President Obama. As many of you know, I have been very active in overturning a number of executive actions by my predecessor. However, I have been informed by the White House counsel's office that Tater and Tot's pardons cannot, under any circumstances, be revoked. So we're not going to revoke them. So, Tater and Tot, you can rest easy.
You know, even that, really? He just,
his
skin is so thin, he just can't leave Obama out of it for a second.
No. He's completely obsessed. He knows how much more popular Obama is and how Obama had a brain and he was, a well-spoken, very thoughtful, very logical, no drama Obama guy. Mm-hmm. And people like that and the world like that. And he's also been outright lying, saying that I'm regaining the world's respect, right?
Right.
The United States is going to get respect again. Well, I passed around a poll that said the exact opposite by double digits, minus 20, minus 15, minus 30. globally ever since he got into
office. But I've also read that his staff gives him trumped up, pardon the expression, polls to make him inflate his ego, as if his ego needs inflating, to make him feel better about himself because his numbers are so bad. So they give him phony numbers.
This be true. I saw that.
Yeah.
So Christina Wilkie of CNBC, who I just love, this is regarding Trump's new $45 baseball cap that says Merry Christmas in the embroidery on the back of it. And she said Trump 2020 campaign has a new hat for sale, costs nearly twice as much as regular MAGA hats, but it lets everyone know you're a soldier in the war on Christmas. Isn't that Christian of him to do that?
Oh, yes.
Isn't that just, well,
it's mighty Christian of him.
Yeah, he's such a Christian. Anyway, Kyle Griffin, MSNBC producer, he said Sarah H. Sanders, or as I call her, Huckabee-S, says that reporters who were called on must say what you played, what they're thankful for before they can ask a question. Ken Delanian replied, maybe just say you were thankful for the First Amendment and ask your question, which you played Cecilia Vega doing.
Yep.
Charlie Pierce of Esquire said, and they play along? Bah! And then Kentucky journalist Terry Carter said, watching professional reporters giggle, this is the part that I really agree with, giggle with a woman who lies to them from the White House podium is disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets me. They played along and they laughed.
Yep. And some of them didn't. One woman didn't, you know, she just asked her question and Sanders didn't say anything to her. And the next guy tried to just ask his question and she called him out on it. Ugh, the whole thing was just, it was distasteful.
It was obscene to me that she would play this little game with them. And it was a power trip. It was an attempt to look pious in some way. It was disgusting to me. Anywho, CNN's Nathaniel Meyerson said, Al Franken in the morning, Glenn Thresh in the afternoon, and Charlie Rose in the evening. So gross and depressing. And that's what you and I were saying. It's an explosion. And it should be. I mean, I wish it had happened a long time ago, but we cannot point fingers before something looks at least credible.
Right. And again, if one woman comes, what's to stop some political operative from them planning and saying, well, we need to take down, and I'll just throw it out there. I'm not saying this is what happened, but Al Franken, because he's getting too popular, and they come up with two women who could do it.
Not only too popular, but he's the one who's getting a lot of traction in those hearings.
That's right.
Against
yes, he is.
Jeff Sessions.
Yep.
Here's the quote. We don't need a liberal Democrat in the seat. There's a quote from
Trump. Right.
From Trump about Roy Moore and all that. Yeah.
Yep.
It just popped up again. Okay. So Marina, it's either Fang or Fong. I don't know how she pronounces it. I'm so sorry. From Huffington Post, quote, Roy has a beautiful wife. This is an Alabama voter she's quoting. Roy has a beautiful wife. Why would he want to fool with some ugly looking woman?
Oh, God. I got to tell you, I know it's bad to paint everyone in a state with a broad brush, but some of these people in Alabama are just dumb fucking idiots. I mean, some of the things that come out, you hear them little focus group kind of things on TV, and it's amazing. They're willing to forgive. The governor of Alabama is a woman, and she said she believes some of these women are credible, and she doesn't care. Even if Roy Moore is guilty, she'd vote for him anyway because it's better than having a Democrat in office.
Exactly. They're very tribal, and this religion thing, he's a God-fearing man. He's a man of God his whole life. That should not enter into any political decision.
Nope.
It just makes me sick when I hear that. And they're all, that's his whole, that's his selling point. That's what Moore keeps getting up and saying. God is my leader or whatever, you know, the rule of law second, God first. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. All right. Here's one that went by a lot of people.
Yep.
Yesterday, it was reported that, and this is from the AP, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has begun issuing permits for lions killed in Zimbabwe and Zambia. And the quote I have here is, 1 month before the Trump administration sparked outrage by reversing a ban on trophies from threatened African elephants, federal officials quietly loosened restrictions on the importation of heads and hides of lions shot for sport.
It's so sickening. And now Trump, because of the negative backlash against the elephants, you know, backtracked on it. And now I don't know what he's saying. There was a tweet.
It was so ambiguous to me.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what he was saying in that tweet. Basically saying about this horrific action. I don't know if he was talking about undoing it or, you know, keeping the ban in place.
My first reaction publicly, you know, I quoted over his tweet and I said, you know, exactly what I expected, of course. Then I thought about it and I said, well, wait a minute. Maybe he's saying the opposite of what I think. Maybe he's saying he's going to stick with it.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, even if he sticks with the ban, he's going to congratulate himself for not doing anything.
Of course.
Oh, God. All right. So today I have today's tweets up.
Okay.
What the heck is this one? Oh, this is from why did I put this one up? Oh, no, that's not even a tweet to share. But Netflix supports strong net neutrality. That's just
of course, because it's going to hurt them. If we have to pay an extra $10 a month to our ISP to get Netflix, that raises the price effectively from 10 to 20 a month, because you got to pay them and you got to pay your internet service provider.
And they already raised their price. Was it them that raised their price?
Yep.
I think it was.
Yep.
So Rebecca Chabad of CBS Politics, I guess it is. There's a three-parter she put up. She starts out by saying, a Roy Moore supporter just said on CNN that Al Franken should resign, but she says that Moore has done nothing wrong. Okay. Uh-huh. Then she says, oh, she just called the Washington Post the Washington Times and then hashtag wrong paper. Then she says, looking further into this woman's background, she was an Obama birther.
Of course.
And then
why am I not surprised?
Replied to her, she gave birth to Obama. Oh, yeah. All right. So then I'm on the warpath about this net neutrality thing,
yes.
By the way. I've been tweeting about it all morning. So, yes, this morning the FCC is trying to complete the repeal of the Obama-era net neutrality rules. And T-Pain, who is an activist online, if corporations control the internet, money controls the internet. Hence, the political agenda with the most money controls our information. This is the backbone of a fascist oligarchy.
It is.
Well said.
It absolutely is.
Really worded that well.
Ro Khanna, who's a congressman who defeated Mike Honda up in the San Jose area. He's been all over it this morning too. He tweeted, FCC is getting ready to overturn net neutrality. If they succeed, ISPs will be able to split the net into packages. This means you will no longer be able to pay one price to access any site you want. I mean, it's not funny. It's just factual. And he's been all over it today. Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General of New York, has been
everybody all over it.
Yep.
I see. I have actually the one I'm going to read you next is in response to that very tweet that you just read by Ro Khanna.
Okay.
This is from Yonatan Zunger.
Okay.
An engineer and writer says this isn't even the worst part of ending net neutrality. The worst part happens when ISPs say, quote, we don't like this site's politics, or quote, this site competes with us, and block or throttle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really scary.
It is.
I mean, your site, your show is exactly what we're talking about here. You mentioned it earlier.
Yep.
You wouldn't know whether you could go on if you were charged or if we were all charged. This is exactly it. Okay, then this guy, right, this William Legate, Save Net Neutrality. He's got a check mark by his name. I make things. I'm an entrepreneur. Okay, so he quotes a 2014 tweet from Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comments, and here's Trump's tweet back in 2014. Obama's attack on the internet is another top-down power grab. Net neutrality is the fairness doctrine. We'll target conservative media. And then this guy, William Legate, says, look at this fucking idiot, in big caps. Trump never even had the slightest understanding of what net neutrality is. Repealing it would allow for the exact thing the dotard thought it had allowed for.
Exactly. Exactly. Dotard.
Dotard. I'm sorry, I said dotard. Dotard.
It's okay. I didn't know the word until Kim Jong-un called Trump it.
Dotard.
Dotard.
And I keep saying in my head, daughter, too, even though I know better. All right. So then I I tweeted, because I'm going to read you a reply to my tweet. That sound you hear, here is democracy crumbling. Pay attention, please. Be proactive. Call, email, tweet, donate, be loud, vote. Okay, that's what I tweeted. Dr. Y, Pamela Rose, PhD, responded, what can I do, in quotes? 5 minutes a day to call one government official to state your position, colon, neighborhood, housing development, city, county, state, nation, or hey, church, or speak up in meetings, or change products from brand that is bad for you. Excellent advice.
Mm-hmm. That is a good one.
Those are all my tweets of the day.
Okay, I've got a few. Amanda Turkle, I think of Huffington Post still, wrote, yeah. Can't wait to see the part of the turkey pardon ceremony where Trump pauses and makes the turkeys praise the good job he's doing.
That's perfect.
It really is. And this goes to something we were talking about. Sally Albright, who is a writer, she said, what if we said listen to women instead of believe women? I see too many people saying we should let women accuse whoever they want and throw the book at them without any investigation or follow-up. No.
You know, here's another thought. How about parents teaching their sons how to treat women? How about being their role models with each other so that the father doesn't treat the mother like crap? And that is a psychologist I know says, the so-and-so show. So like in your case, it would be the Sandler show. So your parents do that show for you and you learn by watching.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to teach by example. And unfortunately, you know, people are saying this is a turning point. Well, yes, it is a turning point in terms of getting it out there, legal issues, firing people. But this behavior is going to continue. Calling it out is great. That's a really huge step and being recognized.
And, but, you know, and then have an investigation. I mean, a lot of these things, if they were offenses that could be brought to a court of law, the time that's allowed before it's...
the statute of limitations.
The statute of limitations. Thank you. Wow. Brain freeze.
Yeah.
Has expired, as they have with Roy Moore. Although when it comes to child sexual abuse, there should be no statute of limitations anyway. But an investigation can find things out. Look, I'm glad. Let the Senate investigate Al Franken. They'll find out if there are other instances where he's actually done this or if it's a ruse.
Right. Exactly. I totally agree with that. The other thing that's been brought up over and over in my timeline is considering the sources of, like, let's say Glenn Thrush.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these people shape our opinions. So if he has an attitude about a certain topic, and they were referring specifically to Hillary Clinton, for example, how has that shaped the election, if at all? You know, just it's just another wrinkle in there because.
Right.
You know, and the other thing that no one has that I've heard has brought up, I read that Glenn Thrush was talking about in his response was that he was, I guess, an alcoholic or a heavy drinker.
Right.
That affected his judgment and he feels like an idiot.
Well, he's blaming the alcohol.
Yeah, he's blaming the alcohol. Exactly. It's just, though, an interesting point. You know, it adds color to the story. It lets you know that men, because when people are drunk or tipsy, they do things because it's in them to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what was the actor? Oh my God, who went on the drunken rampage?
Mel Gibson.
And he shouted out some things that he shouldn't have shouted out. And he said, "Well, I was drunk." Well, no, but that's in you to say. Drinking doesn't make you, let's say, racist or a bigot.
Right, it's there.
It's there.
Right.
It exists.
Well,
and so it maybe exaggerates it.
Right. John Aravosis of America Blog, who does a podcast now with Cliff Schechter, he tweeted, Me Too founder on MSNBC right now, quote, there's wrongdoing if the accusers felt like they were done wrong, end quote. No, 1,000 times no. Accusations are not proof of guilt. They are the beginning of the investigation, not the end. And I think that's important. Again, if it's one accusation, that's one accusation. If the floodgates open, then that tells us something. But
There's a habit and pattern.
Yep.
Or pattern and practice, or whatever the legal term is, that lends credence to what the accusers are saying, especially, my God, especially if they're all saying the same thing independently. not knowing each other, or, you know, I think two knew each other in the case of Moore. But and when you have Moore calling up a high school
to get someone out of trig class,
get out of trig class, right? Because they were saying, somebody, one of his supporters said, "Oh, come on, a lot of 14-year-olds look like they're 20." A lot of 14-year-olds or 15 or 16 or 17-year-olds are not called out of trig class if they're 20,
right? And if you tell the 32-year-old, "Do you know that I'm 14?" That should immediately signal something.
Anyway.
With that, we are just smack dab out of time. Thursday is Thanksgiving, so have a happy turkey day.
You too. Have a good one.
Thank you. I will be here tomorrow, so we'll do a show tomorrow. I'm going to take off Thursday and Friday, just letting everyone know. We'll run a best of or a past show. I don't know, it's the best of anything, but an old show repeated on Progressive Voices on Thursday and Friday. Thank you, Gotta Laugh.
Thank you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. And thank you for listening.